The Afternoon Farm News is being sponsored by Northland Farm Systems of Owatonna, an authorized dealer of Geo, Coon, Coyote, Mustang, and more. Along with Metal Services of Blooming Prairie, they provide metal solutions. Tom Halverstead is a scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca. So, Tom, had to give you a call, see what the numbers were for January here in Minnesota. But, boy, thinking back, I was hauling corn a lot of the afternoons, and I'm thinking for January in Minnesota, it was pretty nice.
It was pretty nice for all kinds of human activity. You know, we've warmer than normal. We had a couple snows, but they weren't the crippling kind of snow. We had one snow that was kind of wet. It fell, and wherever you put it, it stayed where it where you put it. And then the next snow was a drier snow, but we didn't get much wind with it. So once you move that snow again, it kind of stayed where you wanted it. So as far as things that we do outdoors, or as far as the plans we make, I'd have to say January 2021 was a pretty good month.
When you look at the precipitation, the average temperatures, where did we rank there?
Average temperature for the month, 19.2 degrees, 6 degrees warmer than normal. November, December, January, this is our third month of warmer than normal conditions. Precipitation, just a little bit drier than normal. We had a couple of snows, 11 inches of snow. That's just above normal, but one of those snows was quite dry, and our precipitation was about 0.2 inches below normal of water equivalent. These months, the winter months don't bring us a lot of precipitation in inches of water equivalent. We get about 1 inch both January, February, these kind of months, compared to 4 or 5 inches in the summer months. So not a lot of our precipitation comes in the winter.
I did go to your website and looked at the weather. It's kind of interesting to track the soil temperature and the snow and the frost depth. And one thing that was distressing, even though I enjoyed those nice days out there hauling corn, I wouldn't have minded the soil temperature being a little bit lower.
Yeah, we've got frost depth about 6-7 inches, which isn't very deep. We can be down a couple feet this time of year sometimes. When we do get deep frost and cold soil temperatures is when we get bare soil and really cold weather. And those two often don't really go together. A lot of times in the winter when we have bare soil, we have warmer than normal temperatures because the sunshine we do get warms us up. And when we see the coldest temperatures is when we have a deep snowpack. But there's been some years. I remember a few years ago, not too long ago, I was looking at our records. It was the winter of 2013-14. And I remember we were talking, we were likely to set a record, and I don't remember if we did. We had like 55 to 60 below zero days that year, and it was very cold. And at our weather station, those years, we saw soil temperatures down to about 15. And I remember in high school, my junior year of high school, pitching silage out of a silo that was frozen in January of 1977 that year. So I've just revealed how old I am. I remember that as a bitter cold year, too. And Bruce Potter, the insect specialist out at Lamberton, keeps track of those things. And he said both those years we saw really bad overwintering of corn rootworms. And took a long time for them to come back, so I'd expect this year is the opposite of that. We'll see some pretty good overwintering of insect pests unless things change in the next month.
Because the soil temperature is, as you alluded to, around 30 degrees at the 2-inch, 4-inch, even the 6-inch.
Yeah, we've got a fairly decent snow cover. We've only been below zero 7 times this year. Our lowest temperature for January was 4 below zero. With a little bit of snow on that doesn't really get the soil very cold. And those critters down there are probably enjoying this winter so far.
Well, and then I remember, was it a couple years ago, we got to actual temperature 28 or 30 below zero for a night or two. And we didn't have a lot of soybean aphids the next year. And Claire LeCan was saying that you get down to those temperatures, they're kind of, unless they were under some snow that was on the buckthorn, they were under the snow, those really cold temperatures probably thinned that population out, too.
It might have. That's true. I've heard that 30 degrees below zero And we do know that soybean aphids overwinter on buckthorn, and some of that is up above the snow. Some of it will be under the snow, and you never get rid of them all, but I think it was bad for soybean aphids. That was just a couple of years ago. Now, this year we didn't have a lot of soybean aphids, and the winter wasn't particularly harsh. I think there's other things going on. I think Mother Nature's finding a balance where aphids aren't going as unchecked as they used to about 20 years ago when we first found them, and they were really bad.
Maybe the natural predators are starting to gain a little bit more of a foothold that feed off the aphids, that keeps them in check a little bit more, because I think it's been 4 years in a row since I had to spray for aphids on my farms.
I think there's some of those. I think the predators have found a bit of a balance, and I think there's other things going on. You know, they're prone to fungal diseases and things that take care of that stuff. So I think Mother Nature will strike a balance in there somehow.
Back to the soil temperatures now. They're talking really cold, you know, with 17, 18 below zero, but with that snow cover out there. Now, I've seen some bare fields that were tilled and were pretty black, but a lot of the fields have a fair amount of snow, so you wouldn't think that frost would get much deeper with that snow cover there then.
No, we're not going to get real deep. It sounds like there is a chance for some snow in the next few days. I think that'll help, but even an inch of snow, I've noticed at our weather station, even an inch of snow really protects from those soil temperatures from getting real cold. So as long as we've got a little bit of snow cover, we're going to see some temperatures that probably are a few degrees below zero. I think won't take our soil temperatures way down to those single digits or low teens like we sometimes see.
And that could maybe then thing of an indication, a lot to happen between now and then, but maybe an early start to spring field work, because if you've got frost 2, 3, 4 feet in the soil, that's a lot of warming up and thawing out before you can get going in the field versus maybe frost a foot or less.
Well, that's true, Jerry. I mean, the thing we have to wait for in the spring of the year is soils to dry out, and typically before that happens, we have to lose that soil frost. So if it's late February and there's 2, 3 feet of frost, that does take a long time. It takes some warm weather just to get the frost out. Then the water can start moving through the profile. So if we can keep that frost a little shallower and we get some warm weather early in the spring, that usually gets us off to a fast start.
Wanted to mention, too, Tom, that I went to your website and I downloaded it. Winter Crops Day was all there, so if you didn't get to watch your program live, you can still watch it.
You can Google SROC, Southern Research and Outreach Center, look at our front page there, and you'll see a link that's virtual Winter Crops Day, and you can watch it. I think it goes to like a YouTube, and you can sit and watch. It's about 4 hours, but you don't have to watch it all. You can kind of slide that little button forward and backward and find out things that you're interested in, and should be worth your while. And it doesn't cost anything more than your time.
I'm looking forward to things being normal next year and we can be over there in person. But on the flip side of that, I think next year it's going to be recorded or it's going to be Zoom live for those that can't actually be there or want to watch it at a later date. I think that is part of our permanent procedures these days now.
There's no substitute for being in the classroom and doing those kind of things, but I think we did learn that through all this, occasionally there's another outlet for some of our information, and if you can't make it, if you're too far away, and some years we're going to have those winter days when you don't want to travel, this will be another alternative to get some of our information out there.
Tom Halverstead, scientist at the Southern Research and Outreach Center at Waseca. And the Afternoon Farm News was sponsored by Metal Services of Blooming Prairie. They provide metal solutions along with Northland Farm Systems of Owatonna, an authorized dealer of Gale, Coon, Coyote, Mustang, and more.